Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me on today's show to talk about NFL season win totals and futures action is Doug Kazarian, host of Daily Wager on ESPN, as well as Behind the Bets podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at DougESPN. Doug, great to have you back on the show.
It's good to be on. Obviously, these are unique times, to say the least, and challenging times for so much of our country. And, you know, look, obviously, wishful thinking, of course, for everything and all those involved and on the front line, so to speak. But I'm just trying to get through the day and add a little levity to the situation and maybe make a few bucks here talking some betting. But it's been, you know, everybody's lives have been challenged for the right reasons, the safe reasons. But understandably, it's been a setback for a lot of people.
Yeah, I very much understand that. And I'm sending tons of good vibes and health and safety to everyone. But my mindset is always one of looking forwards, not backwards. And that's actually what we're going to do on this podcast, talking about the NFL, because it is the one sport where, compared to all of the others, it hasn't been as affected because we're in the offseason. The draft is coming up in the season, potentially all the way out until September. So I wanted to start with this, Doug. Take me a little bit into your mindset around NFL futures and or win total betting. What are you looking for? What are you trying to identify?
Well, I think you start the conversation, whether it be futures market, win totals, or draft props. It starts with coronavirus, right? How is this going to impact how teams are, how is it going to impact the teams, right? So you have off-season workouts are limited. What does that mean for new coaching staffs, new quarterbacks? How's Tom Brady's integration with new receivers, new system, new everything, how much is that going to be disrupted? And obviously we don't know the exact answer to that because it depends. If this is a couple months versus 4 months, who knows? But I think that's a factor. With the draft, we see so much movement in the month and change leading up to draft night because of in-person interviews, the connection that coaches or management can have with a player going out to dinner. Now, there'll be some FaceTiming and maybe some connection formulated there, but it just won't be as significant. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm starting to think that these front offices who are always looking for an angle to extend their shelf life, let's face it, the shelf life and the timeline of a head coach is very different than the front office. Very rarely are they all in sync. So a lot of times you'll see, hey, let's press the reset button. Let's go get a rookie quarterback and buy myself some time. And I think teams might err on the side of caution in that regard this year because of the lack of information, the lack of interpersonal meetings. So I think teams are going to be able to sort of blame the coronavirus and some draft picks. If they just take the safe route, they'll be fine. In terms of the futures, I do think teams that are consistent and from last year, like the Baltimore Ravens or even the Chiefs, do have an advantage if this quarantine stays for as long as we think it will.
Wouldn't we almost extrapolate that in general, irregardless of coronavirus? So when I'm thinking about season win totals or Super Bowl bets, I love consistency and I love culture. It's why when we get to the season win totals, I've bet the Browns under as many different years. One, I'm a Steelers fan, but two, I know the impact in culture. So Baltimore is a great example there. With John Harbaugh, they're a team and a franchise that is very consistent in what they do foundationally. You're not seeing these huge peaks and valleys one way or another. So my default always is going to be finding the organization that are built on stability.
No, I agree. And I think it just magnified this year with the coronavirus. Look, maybe we find a vaccine tomorrow, right? Maybe we get the cure or whatever. Maybe this all resolves itself by some company stepping up, some other medical professionals. We've rallied the troops, so to speak, in a lot of ways over the years. Maybe we do that. Maybe we have training camp. Maybe we have four preseason games and we go on our merry way once the NFL season arrives. But I do think you have to factor it in. And maybe even if it's just tread lightly and maybe reduce your unit size, maybe that's an approach.
And I think another thing that I'm looking for when looking at my futures is I like teams that are unsexy when it comes to free agency, because so often we can get shiny object syndrome. You see that someone signs a big wide receiver or something and everyone's like, oh my God, they have DeAndre Hopkins or they have Stephon Diggs now. Everything is solved there. Whereas traditionally, the teams that don't have to make a ton of moves, there's a reason for that, because once again, we're dealing with stability. We're dealing with teams who are consistently winning and they're not needing to do a full rebuild of everything, where you're going to be bringing in the Austin Hoopers of the world, who's now the highest paid tight end.
No, and I took the bait last year. I didn't love the Browns to win it all. I didn't love the Baker Mayfield MVP bets. I wasn't on that train or even the division, but I thought the yes, no to make the playoffs. I was a believer in the Browns, and obviously they got off to a horrendous start. But no, you're right. Teams that win the offseason, usually the good fade material.
My favorite of all time was the Philadelphia Eagles super team back when they had
the dream team,
you're like, oh my God, this team is going to be incredible. And they were probably one of the worst, if not the worst, from a hype standpoint, because they were a train wreck.
Yeah. I believe Vince Young, right? That was the term, the dream team.
Yeah.
It happens.
So let's get to the NFL draft first before we do the NFL futures win totals. And let's start with the quarterbacks. And you had two bets that you sort of liked, and I'll let you take this.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, right? Because we've seen Todd McShay just had a mock draft posted today on ESPN.com just talking about Jordan Love, right? And he and Kiper have a $5,000 bet they made on SportsCenter, I believe a month ago or so from the Combine. And it was for charity and all that. But still, like, Jordan Love, without Todd McShay, would be off everyone's kind of radar, right? But now McShay has four quarterbacks in the top 10. So I think you need to put a little just credibility there, just given who is saying it. I'm stunned because I never thought Love was that good. I do think he'll go in the first round. Now, Caesars has a prop that only I believe I've seen at Caesars. It's usually a lot of other places. It's 4.5 total quarterbacks in the first round. Caesars has four. I think over four is a free roll. I can't imagine Jordan Love falls out of the top 32. The other three guys will go in the first round. Tua, Herbert, first pick, Joe Burrow. So it's really interesting to see how it all plays out, but I think it's a free roll at Caesars, minus 200 or so, 220. So I think anybody should grab that if they can, because you're likely going to push, but you have a free roll at five and cashing.
And what we're really looking for then is there any upward movement for Jacob Eason or Jake Fromm? I think those are the two that we're really looking at in terms of, could someone sneak in there?
Yeah, that's the one. And then there's an outside chance Jalen Hurts goes, just if maybe this Taysom Hill sort of parallels continue. But let's remember, and it's more likely it's Eason or Fromm, but this is March 31st, right? We're not even in April. Past years, look at all these quarterbacks who make surges as draft day nears. We got Trubisky shot up to two, right? Daniel Jones, we knew the Giants liked him, but maybe their second first round pick, end of the first round, he goes sixth overall last year. Baker Mayfield was the fourth quarterback outside of those top three, and then Lamar Jackson five. The week of the draft, I think Monday or Tuesday of the draft week, that's when the Browns sort of rumor got out. Now, did the Browns make the decision that week? Who knows? But that's when we started to learn about it. So there's going to be a lot of movement. A lot of these props, maybe not the quarterbacks, but some of these props are going to have huge swings in terms of money line, right? We don't see drastic swings in a point spread throughout the week. Sometimes we do if there's an injury, but we're going to see major movement in a lot of these money lines, the juice. I think we're going to see some movement with the Herbert versus Love. I respect Todd McShay, but I have to go through with what I think is conventional wisdom that Herbert will be drafted ahead of Jordan Love. That prop's about minus 240 or so.
So when looking at the Justin Herbert thing, once again, I think it's a consistency for all year. He was at some points in his career the top guy. It's like, hey, when's Justin Herbert going to come out? And are we really to believe all this hype about Jordan Love all of a sudden is going to supersede what has really been 2 years of tape and him going well to all of a sudden go over him? I'm not sure if I buy into that, because I'm someone who is very pragmatic about things. I don't like to fall in love with it. Once again, the shiny object.
Yeah, we have to assess things also in a vacuum, right? We're not even discussing who's the better quarterback and who's going to be a better quarterback. We're handicapping who the NFL front offices think. And all it takes is one team. So we know that, right? We've seen some curveballs. The Raiders last year threw a curveball on defensive line. So there are a lot more teams keeping things close to the vest. We know that. We never know what New England's going to do with Belichick. With that being said, especially in an offseason when you can't get face-to-face meetings, how many front offices, even if they like Jordan Love over Herbert, are actually going to take Love over Herbert when they have to convince their owner? It's a risk-reward thing. And a lot of them will have excuses. Well, it's coronavirus. You know, we missed on that guy. But if you just take the safe pick, and Herbert has all the measurables, right? 6'4", 6'5", whatever he is. He's like, I think he was like a 4.0 student in high school. Like, they love him. Just an all-American guy, really well-liked by his teammates, solid leader. Not that Love isn't, but you're talking about a guy from a Group of Five conference who really struggled this year against LSU and San Diego State, the two best defenses, in my opinion, that he faced. And then let's say you love Love, right? Like, let's say you just love him. You can maybe get cute, trade down, pick up a couple picks, let another team take Herbert, and you get the guy you want. Kind of like the Celtics did a couple years ago with Tatum and Markel Fultz. They had the one, they traded the Sixers, got Tatum, and then got a couple other value pieces. So I just don't see how Love goes ahead of Herbert, but it is quarterback, most important position in all sports. And if you got your guy, don't get too cute. Don't get too risky. Just grab your guy. So again, all it takes is one front office to like him. And we've seen curveballs, but I think the juice should be a lot higher than whatever it is, 240.
All right, so now let's look at the running backs, a position that we're continually seeing. Just will any even be drafted in the first round? So what are your thoughts on the running backs from a prop bet situation?
Yeah, so it's a lot of it. I mean, this is all speculation, right? And we're going to see a lot of movement, like I mentioned a little bit ago about these money lines moving. We're going to see some guys be moving. So, but I do think Swift out of Georgia will be the first running back pick. Now, I've seen some highs minus $2. I wouldn't go that high, but I've seen some $1.40s out there. It was plus money not too long ago, but I would lay a $1.40 range there. I mean, look, Jonathan Taylor was excellent at Wisconsin, but I do think Swift is regarded as a better NFL back. I mean, you see the rumors like Taylor doesn't have enough wiggle, things like that. He might, again, this is all about the sort of the narrative, SEC versus Big Ten speed. We've seen a lot of good SEC running backs, actually Georgia running backs with Gurley and Chubb and other guys. I do think that matters. As much as that may sound ridiculous, I think, especially, again, this coronavirus offseason, they just feel safer taking a guy like Swift.
So to add some context to this, at DraftKings, or I believe it's DraftKings right now, Swift at minus 140, Jonathan Taylor at plus 155, and then J.K. Dobbins at plus 700. So it really looks like a two running back race for that first one. And with Jonathan Taylor, I think the ball security is another thing that's been the big issue, is he's fumbled a lot. So is there teams out there that say, you know what, we can help fix that, because he does have some of the measurables that teams do like on top of the production as a Wisconsin running back?
Right. No, that's a fair comment, and teams do think. But again, it's about taking the safer route. Let me ask you, if your sort of professional career hinged on it, who would you want to take just from afar? Without having met these guys, like, I would think the SEC running back.
I would agree with that. And ball security, a very big thing. And I know,
sure,
I can't really extrapolate how that's going to be, but I know that teams win when you don't turn the ball over. So of all things being equal, SEC running back with fewer turnovers, great pedigree, that would line up everything for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, I know it's a broken record, but it only takes one front office. And we saw it with the Raiders last year. We saw it with the Giants, Gettleman going up and getting Jones at 6, Trubisky at 2 a few years ago, when their head coach, the Bears head coach, John Fox, did not even know the front office was taking Trubisky and trading up for it. So we've seen stuff, and we will, I don't know, you want to say a third of the picks are right or whatever they are in terms of a lot of these mock drafts. And that's just, we're looking at a mock draft in March. The mock drafts, as we get closer to draft day, figure to be more accurate. And I do encourage people to look at all the, just kind of aggregate as much information as you can, and then trust your instincts. For me, my gut is telling me Swift will be the first running back.
And I remember back in the day when Eddie Lacy was the man, and it's like, oh my God, Eddie Lacy's going to be awesome. And what happens? Gio Bernard goes, then Le'Veon right. Bell, then Eddie Lacy. And me being a Steelers fan, I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here? And of course, Le'Veon Bell ended up being the best of those bunch, but it was a great example of the high profile guy. And then just teams liked different things about running backs, and it was what it was.
It is what it is, totally. And look, on all these wagers, you shouldn't go too crazy unless you absolutely feel certain. Like, I think over four quarterbacks in the first round is a great play because it's likely a push. But other than that, you got to be a little careful with some of this because these front offices do use, whether it be McShay and Kiper, or even just some of the information, straight information guys like Schefter, Mortensen, Graziano. Like, it's sort of a bartering thing, and there's a lot of pump fakes in the marketplace. So as much as we find it salacious and we love it, we do have to remember that there's a lot of misguidance there on purpose.
Hold up.
From our friends at Covers Experts, here's an exclusive offer for the Sharp 600 listeners only. Get 25% off any Covers Experts product when you use promo code SHARP25. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Save a little money and follow the pros all the way to the bank. Again, that's SHARP25 for 25% off any product. Woo! So now let's move to NFL season win totals. And the first team that is on my mind is Tampa. Tom Brady's there, and at DraftKings, all the lines that we're going to share. Tampa, 9.5 as their season win total. And 2010, I believe, was the last time that Tampa won 10 games. They were 7-9 last year. But of course, the upgrade from Jameis Winston to Tom Brady, that is a completely other situation where it's not an apples-to-apples comparison any longer. And as I see it, everyone's like, of course, Tom Brady's going to be great. But you mentioned it at the top. How much is the coronavirus going to impact things? And really, irregardless of coronavirus, a quarterback in a new system for the first year, are we expecting that everything is going to fire on all cylinders in a division with the Saints with a win total at 10, Falcons at 7.5, Panthers at 5.5? But remember, Falcons won 4 in a row in 6 of 8 following their bye week. So there is a lot of competition there. I'm curious if you have any thoughts one way or another. Is there any value in Tampa?
Well, I'm actually thrilled you use the word upgrade because I've discussed it. Are we sure Tom Brady is an upgrade from Jameis Winston? I mean, even today, one of his receivers said Winston, a lot of Winston's interceptions were not on him. So I'm just saying, like, look, that's just one person saying that, could be just diffusing a situation. But just given that Brady's going to be 43, Winston had all those yards and all those touchdown passes, I wonder. Excuse me, I'm going to get some water too.
Cool. So for me on my end, I'm going to be betting the under on Tampa because 9.5, that means they're going to have to win 10 games. And I'm willing to roll the dice a little bit that not everything is going to go as planned for Tampa. And maybe it's 2 years. And I agree with you there that looking at it, a 40 plus year old Tom Brady, just I'm willing to throw a few jelly beans to say, you know what? It's not going to be perfect because when you look at the history of sports, a 40 plus year old player moving teams, it just isn't an ideal situation for me with a franchise that historically has one of the worst cultures or organizations as a whole.
Well, that's an interesting point because I do think Brady's impact will be felt on the culture because I do think that says something when your obviously most decorated player is going to be the first guy in, last guy to leave, that whole thing. I mean, the Spurs would talk about that all the time with Tim Duncan, and it just makes coaching so much easier. I think Pop said that, referenced that in Duncan's jersey retirement in San Antonio after a game, a home game, one of those days. I do think that will kind of improve the culture. And I think I'm not saying Brady's not an upgrade. He could very well be. So it's a pass for me. But I'm just saying it could not be an upgrade. And I say that because Winston, for all his problems, now obviously Brady's going to be a better decision maker, but for all his issues, he extended plays. Brady doesn't have the same mobility. That O-line is terrible. Now, Brady will have better weapons this year. He gets a tight end like he loves that he had back in the Gronk days. Didn't have that this year. Obviously, Mike Evans is a stud. Golston as well. I mean, they have a lot of playmakers. And I was surprised at this. The defense by Football Outsiders, DVOA adjusted, was actually fifth best. So I found that interesting. There were position groups on the D was actually much better than people realize. But the O-line is a concern, but maybe Arians adjusts. So I think they're going to be right around that number. I think the market in terms of winning it all and all that's nonsense, 22-1. I wouldn't do that, especially with the extra playoff game this year, right? Only the one seed gets a bye in each conference. So I would avoid some of those futures. I could see 10-6. I could obviously see 9-7. So it is a pass for me with the Bucks, but I couldn't fault anyone because I understand the logic on both sides of that.
So let's go to Tom Brady's former team, the Patriots, also at 9.5. And as we speak right here on March 31st, it looks like Jared Stidham is the quarterback. And I think part of the fun of futures is saying, do you believe Jared Stidham is going to be the quarterback, or are they going to draft one, or is it a combination of Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, something that we don't see there? And with the Patriots, if you like their over, you're betting on culture, this consistency of winning like the Spurs. So I'm curious on your end, do you have a lean one way or another?
Well, it's a fair comparison with the Spurs, right? That is the apples to apples as much as we can for any sort of comparison for the Patriots. And we kind of had to see it to believe it for the Spurs not to be good. And we got a taste of it this year with injuries. I need you to break out your crystal ball and tell me who's going to start a quarterback in week one. I think it's a bit, obviously, it's a lot different if it's Stidham or even Hoyer versus Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, because I do believe in Belichick. I don't think he's going to tank for Trevor Lawrence, all that nonsense. But I think the ceiling is lower, right? They're still an odds on favorite, -110 at last check to win the division. So, but it's just not like -900 or 1100 like we've seen in recent years. So I don't want to fade Belichick. There's just smarter things to do with one's money. But then again, it could be just a rebuilding year, because that offense, it wasn't Brady's fault last year, right? Like, they had some issues and they got by and they played a lot of bad teams. Remember, they were playing a lot of teams where they were on their backup quarterback. They played the Jets with a third stringer. They just caught teams in the right situation. But I'm not about to bet against them too, because I don't necessarily 100% believe in the rest of the division.
I agree. Let's keep it with the rest of the division, because you know who's extremely excited right now, and I'm actually married to one of them, a member of the Bills Mafia. The Buffalo Bills over under on their season win total is 9, and the Bills are a team under Sean McDermott that have historically been unsexy yet overachieved. It's very easy for people to say, you know what, I don't like Josh Allen. But I think back to that Cowboys game, irregardless of what we think about the Dallas Cowboys, it was a big time game for Buffalo. I was in Buffalo watching at the time, and it was like their Super Bowl, and this is the opportunity for them. They trade for Stephon Diggs, and it is seen as a win now type move. And I'm curious your thoughts on the Bills, because this is the best opportunity that they've had with Tom Brady not in the equation.
Yeah, it's really now or never for the Bills, right? Like, you just kind of – the window is right there. Unless the Patriots go get, like, Cam Newton or something like that, then it's a different situation. But I picked out a lot of over-unders I like, and I have a lot of flat, no halves on some of mine. So I'm expecting a lot of pushes. But I actually lean under for the Bills. I don't love it. I just think 10-6 is a lot to ask. I think last year – and keep in mind, Bills Mafia, this time last year – I thought the Bills at +500 to make the playoffs was a really good bet. Wrote an article at a couple plays I liked. That was one of them for ESPN.com. So I'm not opposed to it, but I think it's a lot easier sneaking up on teams. As much as I love McDermott, I think it's tough to kind of play with expectations. Let's not forget week one, they were down, 20-0 against the Jets or whatever it is. And then the schedule just kind of broke right for them. Had a couple narrow wins, had some impressive losses, like the home one to the Patriots. Like, maybe if Allen doesn't get hurt, they win that game. Who knows? Even the Ravens game was very competitive, although I never thought they were going to actually win the game. But this Bills schedule, as I call up my other laptop, I just kind of want to go through it. So the actual schedules aren't out, but we know the opponents of every team. But just look at the away schedule. Dolphins, now this could be September and the heat, and the Miami always has a wonky sort of home field advantage in September. Patriots, Jets, Broncos, Raiders, Cardinals, 49ers, Titans. I'm not sure how many games they're going to be favored on the road next year. Maybe two, right? Like, At Miami, you would think, not guaranteed. At Denver, maybe? Maybe at Vegas Raiders? Like, I don't know. It all depends on the scheduling spot. So I don't love the Bills to get 10 wins. Now, they're going to have some home field, but they got the Chiefs at home. They got the Rams at home. Seahawks. Steelers. I mean, these are not necessarily layup games. So I think it's a little chic to say the Bills are going to take care of business when they have a really tough schedule.
So what is super interesting to me, you just mentioned the Steelers. So let's go to the AFC North. There's three teams that stand out. Ravens at 11, Steelers at 9, Browns at 8. Ravens coming off a 14-2 season. Before last season, though, the last time they won more than 10 games was 2011. And as I look at the Ravens right now, you're buying them at their peak. We see Lamar Jackson. We see the consistency of the organization. You see every reason why they should continue to be good. What are your thoughts on the Ravens?
So I think it's an extremely interesting concept with the Ravens, because you're right. You have to buy high on the Ravens right now. They, I don't know if you know this or your audience does. They exceeded their win total by more wins than any other team in the NFL last year. They, no other team, not like the three win over-unders that won 7 or 8. They had the most sort of delta, the biggest difference in terms of exceeding than any other, which is impressive. And you're going to take the over again, because I think it's 11. I don't think they're going 10-6 in that division. So I think it's likely to push. I think they can get 12 wins. And I'll tell you why. We talked about the coronavirus. They have continuity from last season into this season. Harbaugh is an amazing coach. He's all about winning. We know that from any preseason bettors out there. Certainly know that about Harbaugh. But I will say this. If we go dissect that game against the Titans, it came down to a few third and fourth downs. That's all it did. Titans converted. Ravens didn't. And it wasn't like 2 years ago against the Chargers where Lamar Jackson was just kind of overwhelmed out of sort. This wasn't a Lamar Jackson problem. The Titans played well. And I'm also say this. And this is a little bit of narrative. So if you want to dismiss it, fine. And I've talked to a lot of guys who play in the NFL at ESPN Callways, and I've tried, this started with trying to dissect why Peyton Manning was so dominant in the regular season and sometimes struggled in the playoffs, other than just facing better teams, the bye week. You know, you're facing really good teams by the time you reach the second round. It comes down to this. When you prep in the regular season, you might have like three guys or two guys out, a couple other guys banged up, right, on defense. And then the prep time, we all saw that photo of Peyton Manning with a helmet on and his foot in the ice bath or the jacuzzi, whatever it was, his like disparity between his preparation and everyone else. And it just showed in the regular season. But come playoff time, you get guys who like basically tell their wives, like, I'm good. Like, don't bother me. They're in early, out late, focused, film. It's all hands on deck. And I think you could apply that to sort of that Ravens unique offense. That Titans effort, their receivers were not open, right? Yes, Lamar Jackson, that opening drive, threw high for his tight end and tipped pick. And then a couple other times there was a drop. But for the most part, Titans were all in and very physical and hammering everything. Like, I don't think you get that effort in the regular season. I just don't think humanly you can do that for 16 games. I just don't think you can in over 17 weeks. So I just think the playoffs bring out a different level of intensity and preparation, and that's what it takes to beat this unique offense. Because when you face this unique offense on a week-to-week, like you're facing all these kind of pass-happy teams, then you got to go deal with this like dynamic quarterback in the run. And then the next week, it's like it's just not worth their sort of effort of preparation. Again, a big narrative, but I think it applies. So I think 12 wins is certainly doable for the Ravens. I don't think they're going 10-6. That's just not happening.
All right, let's look into the rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9. Me being a Steelers fan, 5 of the last 6 years, the Steelers have won 9 games or more. And Ben Roethlisberger comes back from an elbow injury. Thankfully, an elbow, not a shoulder there. You say, all right, will James Conner stay healthy? Will Juju bounce back? You get a full season of Minkah Fitzpatrick, Devin Bush in the middle linebacker, another year to mature. And I think that Devin Bush is extremely interesting because going into last year with a defense, it's like, who's really the leader? In pretty much out of nowhere, all of a sudden, the Steelers became an elite defense. TJ Watt up for potential defensive player of the year. So really with this bet, you're saying the Steelers are going to push at 9 or they can go 10-6, a franchise who they are consistent. So they fit the mold. What are your thoughts on the Steelers?
It's tempting. Let me put it this way, but I'm definitely leaning under instead of over. Let's go back to last year. Remarkable job by Mike Tomlin. Smoke and mirrors to deal with a third-string quarterback in Hodges. And even just what they had to do, it was just the Big Ben injury really derailed them. So, but we're supposed to expect Big Ben at 38 and 100 pounds overweight for right now. We'll see what happens come season. And he's obviously been able to handle that and play well. But no longer the killer bees. No Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell. We really don't know what Ben can do for an entire season. And as much as they played above their expectations with the quarterback situation, that we can't just assume adding Big Ben makes them that much better. Like I talked about with the Vikings a couple years ago, Case Keenum is not as good of a quarterback as Kirk Cousins. But when they went from Keenum to Cousins, I didn't think they were going to get better quarterback play. Keenum played out of his mind, was it the MVP discussion? Now, obviously Cousins is better than Keenum, but given that level of play, I don't think they were upgrading to Cousins. Again, based on performance, not career performance. So in this case, like they won a lot of those coin flip games. I think Big Ben, just the law of average, is going to have to play really well in order to win those same type of games. And I think the Browns are going to be a lot more competent now that Freddie Kitchens is gone. I don't know how good the Bengals are going to be. They were in a few games. Maybe Burrow is actually good and sort of NFL ready, if you will, as a rookie. But their schedule's really tough as well. I mean, you can talk to me about this one, but their road games outside the division – Jaguars, I'm expecting a win there. But Titans, Cowboys, Bills, Giants, those are tough games. And then even home outside the division, the Steelers have to face the Texans, the Colts, Eagles, Broncos. So I see 9 and I just do not see 10 and 6 from Pittsburgh. But again, it is the Steelers. They have continuity, which we talked about we like in this offseason. So I'm not running to the counter to bet under either.
Here's the thing that I'll add about Ben Roethlisberger from just a Pittsburgh perspective is his health is actually going to improve in the other areas because Ben has all this time off for the elbow injury to help him with all the other bumps and bruises. So really, he doesn't have as much wear and tear. I get it. He's older. He's the quarterback, so we're not expecting him to be Lamar Jackson. But there can be some other ancillary benefits that came from him sitting out. And let's actually get to the last team I want to talk about, the Browns at 8. On principle, I'm taking their under. Like, I bet the Knicks win total under every single year because I don't believe in their culture. They still have they have amazing pieces all over the place. It's like, oh, by the way, let's just add another tight end here to go with Njoku and Landry and Chubb and OBJ. And it's like, it's this wealth of riches right there. But they're, once again, new coaching staff right there. I'm doing it on principle for myself.
I can't blame you at all. Look, I learned my lesson last year. I'm certainly gun shy on any Browns wager this upcoming season. Freddie Kitchens was a disaster at times, but you know what? Baker Mayfield was a disaster too. Kitchens took the fall on a couple of those things. Maybe that four down play calling down to the end against the Rams on Sunday night at home. Maybe he should deserve some more blame there. But I do think it was a humbling season for Mayfield. I believe in him. I think he needs to kind of just let it rip. He kind of thinks too much. That's just like my, you know, armchair quarterback assessment. But for me, it's a stay away. Can't fault you though for betting under. I guess you're kind of more bullish on the Steelers than I am.
That just sort of by default, and I won't bet the Steelers because I traditionally don't because I'm so invested in them. But I like the consistency of the Ravens and the Steelers as a whole. And until the Browns do not win that bet for me, then I will continue to make it. So, Doug, to quick recap on my end, I will be betting under on Tampa Bay at 9.5, and I will also be betting under on the Browns in 8. What about you? Recap what you like.
Yeah, so we talked on the Ravens over. That's probably my favorite. Steelers under 9 is right there as well. Bills under 9 is kind of like a lean, if you will. And a couple other sort of basement teams in the NFC East we didn't really get to. Giants, I like under 6. Redskins over 5. Now, those are just leans, but I think the Giants, to lose that bet, they got to win 7 games. I don't think that's happening, and I think it's correlated to my other bet. I think the Redskins are a little bit better than they were in years past as I reach over to my other laptop and just try to call up the schedules for these two teams. But in terms of the Redskins, like, they have some winnable home games, but you just don't know about their quarterback. If you told me it's Kyle Allen for 16 games, I'm pretty optimistic on this team, right? With Ron Rivera kind of reunited, they're going to be healthier. I mean, they've had bad injuries the last couple of years. But, like, do I really want to bet on the Redskins to have to cash that at 6 wins? maybe. The Giants, I mean, look, this defense was really bad. They had a lot of injuries themselves. I don't believe in Daniel Jones. I don't believe in Gettleman. I think he's a meathead. I think he's going to screw up the draft again. Their division's really tough, too. They have away games with the Seahawks, Rams, Ravens, Bears outside of the division. I mean, those are four losses right there. They do get the Bengals in Ohio, but maybe they lose that, too. I mean, at home, they got the Niners, Cardinals, Steelers, Browns, and Bucks. They can lose all those games. So I think it's push or a win if you take the under six wins for the Giants. But it's real close on a lot of this, but the offseason is a giant variable. So those are my plays. Then we talked about the draft props already.
And two other teams that I'll add that I don't have action on, but the Texans at 7.5. And this is more on Deshaun Watson, and everyone sees, Hopkins goes and gets traded away, and we're very easy to say they're going to be absolute trash. But they've won double digits the last two seasons under Deshaun Watson. So I'm looking at that. And the other one that stood out to me, the Rams at 8. They went 9-7, 13-3, and 11-5 under Sean McVay. Are we quick to forget that about 2 years ago, we anointed Sean McVay as the next best head coach in the NFL, and now they're just a 500 team? I don't have the lean yet, but those two stood out to me as something of doing a little bit more digging. So,
yeah, that's a fair point. We might be bearing the lead. Those might be the two best plays now that I think about it, because the Rams, there is a, I believe in the Super Bowl hangover. There just is. It's demoralizing. Your offseason starts late, all that stuff. Now, do I believe in Goff? No. But do I believe in him to go 7-9? Probably not. Yes, the Cardinals are better. I think the Seahawks will have some regression. I really like the Niners. I think they're going to be great this year because when they were healthy, they were awesome. That middle chunk of the season, they had a lot of injuries. Kittle and a bunch of people on D, they dominated. They didn't just win. They dominated opponents when they were healthy, sort of the bookend six games on each side, if you will. But in terms of the Rams, I like the over, and I do like the Texans over. Look, say what you want about Bill O'Brien, and I would argue, obviously, that he should have got more for Hopkins. But he's won this division, Rob, 4 out of the last 5 years. And the only year he didn't was when Watson suffered the knee injury and was out for the year. I think it was from early October on. He was an MVP candidate that year. So you're right. They do lose Hopkins. They would be better with Hopkins. But they have a better running game, presumably, with David Johnson. Their defense, J.J. Watt is back healthy. Remember how many games he missed last year? And I'm not sold on the division. Like, I'm not sold on the Colts with Phillip Rivers. I do love Frank Reich. I think the defense is better. I think they're going to run the damn ball, as the hats say. I'm not in love with that team as much as everyone else is. I do think the Titans are solid. I assume Tannehill is going to be able to keep it up like he did last year, one would think. But then again, it is Ryan Tannehill. And then obviously the Jags stink. So I think 8-8 or better is certainly a solid play for the Texans.
I agree. I'm not blown away by the division because that was the narrative the entire year until all of a sudden the Titans snuck in there, had their run in the playoffs. So they could have been hot and they could just go back to being 8-8. So Doug, I love jamming with you about football. This felt very good to me to talk about sports. So where can everybody connect with you?
So I'm on Twitter, like most of us in the media industry, at Doug ESPN, and just look for updates. We have a couple Twitter shows. We had one today talking about quarterback draft props. We have another one Thursday, 2 Eastern, simulcasted on like YouTube and Twitter. So we have a lot of shows posted as well for ESPN.com. We're going to get another podcast out there as well. And I write a lot of content for ESPN.com's chalk section. So a lot of fun there, but all coming from my home. I took you inside my home office here, see the bookshelf, the bobbleheads, and some other things. So are those all baseball cards behind you, or is it a poster of baseball cards?
These are all my baseball, basketball, and football cards from a kid. If you can imagine this, I had 2 garbage bags that went with me from Pittsburgh to college at Miami of Ohio to where I live now in Chicago. And it just so happens I started to do a lot more hosting and on-camera work. And I'm always acutely aware of the backdrop. And I was like, man, what can I create? So all of a sudden I was like, I got all these cards right here. So what I did is I had to create a DIY project where I gridded it out like 20 cards vertically and 20 cards horizontally. You spray adhesive and then put them on. So there's 6 giant sheets of my entire childhood behind me.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, no, it's it's talk about do it yourself projects. This, I've always had some stuff I wanted to get to. So I've been scanning a lot of my old photos, like childhood photos, family photos, baby pictures, all that. And then I actually have them. that I got from home in Los Angeles. So I'm putting up more frames, things like that. But yeah, trying to make good use of your time, but it certainly caught my eye. So I'm glad I asked. That is interesting.
Thank you. And I want to hear from you. Have you laid down any NFL season win total or NFL draft futures action? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy and make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And one thing that helps us out so much is when you go to iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review, when you show us love, we will show you love on the show by giving you a shout out. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The Funkadelic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.